This is the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and on the flagship station, Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, your half-hour station.
Looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. And just remember what your old past said. Boy, you've got a friend in me. 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 You got troubles, well, I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and we see it through. Cause you've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
All right, we do have the music. I just had to find the buttons to find the music for it. All right, I'm Kelly Rayburn. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, all part of Co-op Radio, CITR, CFUV, CGSF, any type of community, regional district in your community. Of course, I am, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Across from me is Michael Rubin. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
That's good.
It's being a pretty interesting day out with lots of rain and stuff today.
Yeah.
So.
Oops, that's my phone. I shouldn't be doing that.
No.
I know who it is, but I'm not going to answer it. Sorry. Sorry, Lindsay.
Anyway.
As much as I enjoy your company, my partner, we have a radio show to do. All right.
It usually doesn't happen, does it?
I'll call you later, all right?
Yeah. So, you have a soundbite.
I do have a soundbite. This is from the Beauty of Raising of an Autistic Child, Sally Dittich. It's a 27-minute talk all on the, basically, on autism and the disability of raising an autistic kid, for that matter. Hmm. You want to listen to that?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go with that.
We'll come right back in a moment.
My name is Sally Hart-Deitch. I am a registered nurse. I've been a nurse for 25 years. I am a hospital executive. But most importantly, I am a wife and I am a mother. And I am the mother of a blended family of 5 boys. So if that doesn't shock you enough, because believe me, there is a lot of testosterone in my home, and I'm the only girl. We even have a male dog, that at least I will always say that I will always be the queen of my castle. But it is the most important job that I have of being a partner to somebody, but then also having the responsibility of raising 5 boys. So let me give you a little background, a little story, and I'll take you back 2.5 years ago. And this is a little bit before Greg and I got married. And before we actually blended our kids together. And Liam, who you will see his picture shortly, had been diagnosed previously with ADHD. We all thought, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Put my finger on it. We got it. We're going to treat this. We're going to deal with it, all of these things. We continue to have issues. And as a clinician, my background comes out, and I'm like, there's something not right. And although I think, and a lot of times I will tell you, I practice medicine on the side, which is not good. And people will call and say, is Dr. Deitch home? I go, yeah, let me put on that hat. I knew that pharmacologically there were things that were not right. Then I kept thinking, we don't have the meds right. We need to titrate. We're working between pediatricians, psychologists, everybody else going, something not right. So we end up finally taking Liam to see a child psychiatrist. And through this process of having your 7.5-year-old sit there, psychiatrist spends about an hour just talking, just asking Liam lots of questions, asking us questions, and finally turns around and just very matter-of-factly says, you realize Liam is autistic, right? And I think at that point, my world kind of shattered and imploded and kind of fell in. And the shock and awe, I think, at that time, I just responded and went, excuse me? And he said, well, let me explain. Autism is a spectrum disorder. For those of you who are not familiar with autism, there is a spectrum, and he kind of described it as being an umbrella, and you go from this side all the way to this side, and depending on the severity, you are on either side of kind of this spectrum. What does that mean for Liam? Liam's kind of about in the middle, what you'd call kind of an Asperger's kid. Liam is extremely intelligent. Liam's IQ is over 150. Liam is phenomenal. So as my world kind of collapsed, and I remember sitting that night and crying and crying and crying, and very much doing, as I told Greg, I was having a very bad mom moment. And for those parents in here, you know that you have those moments throughout your parenting journey, whether it's a bad mom moment or a bad dad moment, and you go, that was probably not a great idea. That was probably not a great thing to do, but you learn from it. So Liam is this little boy over here with the glasses. And I will ask you as you look through and as we go through the pictures, that Liam very rarely is ever looking at the camera. It is sometimes just a challenge to get Liam to actually participate in a picture. But Liam is our square peg. It is very interesting as we have really just dove headfirst into understanding what autism is. It is amazing the number of people who have said, he doesn't look autistic. And I didn't ever realize, well, I guess, is there a look to being autistic? Is there something that makes them different? Is it something that you could change and say, well, yeah, that's it? Or as in our family, a lot of times we look at each other and go, I'm having my own autistic moment. So let me give you some examples of Liam and how this process kind of came to be. Liam was born, I was what they would call an old mom. I did not have Liam until I was 38 years old. When Liam was born, he was a great baby. Although I will tell you, Liam never slept through the night. Liam didn't sleep through the night until he was 18 months old. And even after that, when we finally got him to sleep, he would be up two or three times a night. So the doctor, and I think of all these questions, and I think that's when the bad mom moment hit. When you think back to all of the things your child did, and you think, why didn't I see it then? So I can think about Liam not sleeping. Okay. You know what? Kids are kids. There are some kids that are really hyper. They just don't sleep. They don't sleep well. They have problems. Liam, very overstimulated, tended to, as we call what is stimming, and it calms him, and it's something about his head, and whether it's rubbing his hair, whether it is playing with things, whether it's covering his ears, that is my child. When you see him walking through the mall or at the airport, you will see a gaggle of us. There's seven, sometimes eight when the nanny's with us. And he's usually the child that's walking that has a hand in his hair, and he is comforting himself as we go along. So Liam didn't sleep. No big deal. A lot of kids don't sleep. At 9 months old, and if any of you have ever heard or seen Celtic Women, it is a group from Ireland, they're female singers. Liam saw a video of Celtic Women at 9 months old and fixated on that video till we had to play it over and over and over again. And I have pictures of him just sitting there, and he'd sit there for hours and just watch this video. Well, that's not weird. It's a lot of kids that become fascinated by things even at 9 months. Okay. Moving past that, it wasn't until he was three that we happened to be over at my parents' house, and he truly happened upon a video of National Geographic space. 3 years old. Pitched a fit. we have to take this home. My mother agrees. You can take home the video. Liam watched it on a loop, sold VHS tape, until it broke. He was my child who knew everything and anything about space. So we'd lay in bed and we'd have these stories and he'd say, Mommy, start at the beginning. Okay, Mommy and Liam are in a space shuttle and we start at the sun. Yes. And what do we do, Liam? We fly backwards. Okay, where do we stop first? Well, the first planet, which I actually think is Venus. I may be wrong. Tell me about Venus. He could tell me these things about Venus. Then Mercury, then Earth, and we pass Earth. We wave to everybody. We're at Mars. It's the red planet. It has all these things. What's after Mars? There's an asteroid belt. I honestly did not know that. Okay, what's after that? Oh, Jupiter? I think it's either Jupiter or Saturn. Tell me about that one. Jupiter, largest planet. Mom, did you know it has 31 moons? This is a three-year-old. Really, Liam, what are their names? The largest is Europa. Then you have Callisto, and he'd name them. Okay, at this point, it's kind of weird, right? Because the parent used to be sitting there going, you're three, you should know these things. So is Liam, this is Liam. He knew that Pluto was not a planet, it was a dwarf planet. The tape broke. Not a good moment in our lives. And we graduated. By now we're about four. We graduated to Stephen Hawking's universe. The four-year-old who watches astrophysics. And became just enthralled with everything and anything there was to know about space. These are his other, the gaggle. Liam, of course, has his back to the camera. But he's in the picture. We have success. So moving on, we soon figure out that Liam is just, you know what, at that point you're thinking, yeah, he's just impulsive. He's hyper. He's a normal child, but probably lacks some discipline. Probably lacks some focus. That must be me. It's bad parenting. I'm working too much. I'm not spending enough time with them. I'm not helping the situation. Another bad mom moment. Lots of times, and a lot of us as parents love to put guilt on our own shoulders and have our own martyr moments and say, this was all me, and we missed it. We start school. Now, I'll tell you, initially, he's in a very Montessori-ish program. It was very free-flowing. It was impossible to catch it. And it wasn't until he got into actual school, into public school in first grade, and by the grace of God, he ended up being at my sister's elementary school. And the first year she said, I don't know if it's him or the classroom, she said, but I was doing an observation, and they were kind of out of control. She said, but I don't know if it's him or just that there's a lack of structure. So we tested him. He's testing into the Gifted and Talented program. Bravo. She said, next year we're going to put him in the GT class. And that teacher is extremely structured. So we'll see. Second grade. 86 days of lunch detention. 2 in-school suspensions. And the second one was for pushing down a little girl and calling her a whore. You're in the second grade. Where do you even hear that word? And how would you know contextually how to use that to a woman or a female? So imagine all of the horrible things that are going through my mind of why is this happening? So working with my sister, the counselors, we need to get him evaluated. We need to do a full-blown psych eval, which we do. It's ADHD. Your child has ADHD and pretty severe ADHD. We don't normally medicate children at this age, but in this case, we really need to try something. Great. So we do, change diet, put him on medicine. Remarkable. Second to third grade, I will tell you. Great improvement. We went from 86 days to 6 days of detention. Bingo. Eureka. I have found it. This is what it is. didn't explain all the other things that were happening. And to give you kind of a flavor for our little Liam, is that Liam fixates on things. So obviously space. Space still continues to this day. But in the first grade, it was snakes. He was the only child I know that went in on career day and said, I want to be a herpetologist. Every other first grader looked at this child like, I don't even know what that means. Okay? But he could tell you by snake, especially venomous snakes, and he'd ask you how much you'd weigh, and then in his head he would figure out how much venom needed to be injected in you to kill you. First grader. Okay. Then we went from snakes to the next year it was hyenas. That's kind of a weird one to fixate on. Okay, but when you go to the zoo, which we did in Tucson and somewhere else, Liam's pick of a toy or a gift from the gift shop was a hyena. And all the other boys went, okay, Liam. I mean, Liam's got a hyena, and he read everything he could about that. We've moved from multiple things to, let's see, infectious disease was the last year. Now, can you imagine when Ebola was breaking out across the United States, across Africa and then coming to the United States, he sat in his doctor's office and he said, you know, but thank God, it is the strain that is, and he named the strain, because the mortality rate of that is only about 70%. You know, if they had this strain, it's probably about a 98% mortality rate. And his doctor's looking at him, okay, Liam. So while to us he is extremely fascinating, and I tell you all of the things that are incredible about him and what he's able to grasp and study and understand, it also is probably one of the biggest fears and challenges that we as a family deal with. Because there isn't just one child in our family, there's four others. And we have this conversation very often about how do you balance the needs of the four to the needs of the one. And all of his brothers, and I will tell you this story about his oldest brother, Zachary, who on the day we found out, Zachary came home, and I literally was a disaster. Was crying, and all the boys had gone to bed, and Zach was still up. And he walked in, and he said, Sally, why are you crying? Dad, why is Sally crying? I mean, he was very upset. And Greg tried to explain to him, Liam was diagnosed, and he's autistic, and we're trying to consume as much information as possible. And Zachary said, why are you crying? And I said, Zach, because I'm mourning. I am, as a mother, thinking of all the things my child will not do. That to this day, he doesn't have friends. He doesn't get invited to birthday parties. He doesn't do the normal things. And Zachary looked at me and said, but that's why God gave him four brothers that will love him no matter what. And that child, as much wisdom as he had at 11 years old to say that, brought me comfort that no one will ever understand. So Liam actually does go to summer camp. And as you can see in even his summer camp pictures, he doesn't ever stand with the boys. He's always a little bit removed because he really doesn't want them to touch him. But at least we're making small steps. So we as a family, snakes. My husband doesn't like this picture because he doesn't like snakes. But Liam loves them. He is different. And there is one thing that we say a lot in our family is that what is not always fair, maybe equal, and what is sometimes equal is not always fair. And so the needs of the children, all four and five of them, are very different. And as parents, we have to change what we do, how we do, and how we monitor and move their worlds around to make sure that we meet the needs of all, whether it's fair or not. These are all different pictures of different times where we have really tried to bring him in to being part of us. And I will tell you that as when you look at autism and the spectrum and you say, well, what is this? Liam, with an IQ as high as he has, also cannot tie his shoes nor button his pants. So the day-to-day world that he lives in is very different. He's a mainstream student. He's in a normal classroom. While he is considered special education, you wouldn't... What does that mean to you? And as I've heard even many of the speakers today talk about, whether it's tolerance or stereotyping or having biases and racism, there are those in our population, especially people that have autism.
I just want to interrupt here for just a moment. You are listening to Sally Deitch on the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Network. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Association. I guess we'll continue on with Sally Deitch, and then we'll be finishing our show. Stay tuned.
That it's not defined as one thing or another. That is as many times why they call it a spectrum disorder, because they are all on a spectrum and it's not defined by one singularity. This caricature was done and they all picked their own idea of what they wanted to be, and Liam picked Halo. So Halo Reach, or Halo the game, which is a video game. So let me give you an example of a Liamism from Halo. So we go to GameStop, and they get to pick a video game. All right. And he's trying to pick something out, and he sees something, and he says, it was Grand Theft Auto. I went, no. And he goes, he says, that's right, Mom, because on the list of the 100 most violent games, it's number 2. Okay. Yeah, that's why you're not getting it. He walks around the store, and he walks over, and he picks up Call of Duty. Liam, and he goes, it's not, Mom, it's actually not that bad. It's number 47. Pick another, dude. You're trying me. Walks around, picks up Halo. And he goes, it's not people, they're aliens. Okay, what number is this one? And he goes, it's 89. It's not that bad. So we live with a child who can list anything and everything, who becomes fixated and fascinated by different ideas and things, that as would much rather spend time with adults than he would with children his own age. And yet at the same time, the discussion that he wants to have with you is the discussion he wants to have with you. So it is not this back and forth. Now, I'll tell you, last night we went to Western Playland and he did ride the tsunami, and he sat between two girls that were a little bit older than him, and he was very proud when he came off, and he says, I was having a conversation with them. And I said, you were? And he goes, it was an exceptional conversation. Right on. And we work with a therapist who does a lot of applied behavioral analysis and actually is trying to help him to develop those skills. You tend to see a lot of social awkwardness, the inability to have two-way conversations. It's a very one-way conversation and very fixated on certain things. The other things that I will tell you that Liam is, and we have this conversation a lot at home, is that I am Liam's touchstone, and I am the one person in this world that can make everything okay. And so we have moved on from the days when Liam would have a meltdown, and that included banging his head against things or hitting himself and telling you, I hate myself, I'm horrible. And as a parent, to hear your child do that just rips everything from your heart. And then for a child that is autistic and understands and can do his own research about autism, and he will tell you everything there is to know about it, will also react negatively to himself and say, I wish I was never born. I wish I was not autistic. May not understand what that means. For those of us that are neuronormal or born that way, to try and put yourself into the world of a child or anybody that has autism is sometimes very difficult. And it's very hard to process and understand where they're coming from. And I'll give you a couple of examples, because while we throw a lot of funny into our world, because there is a lot of joy, there are instances where you go, that's interesting. So a very good friend of ours who teaches speech pathology, speech language pathology at the University of Arizona, also teaches in their autism program. And she spent a lot of time with us and said, let me explain something to you. So normal human speech is very fast. Normal human speech is about three to five words per second. That's how we speak. She said the autistic brain processes about 1 to 2 words per second. So she would slow down her speech. This is how he processes. So when you come at him, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, maybe brilliant, but he has not heard what you said. We have some really good examples, and we catch ourselves as parents many, many times violating our own rules and things that we know we should do differently. So my husband one day says to Liam, I call and I said, I'll meet you at the doctor's office. And he says, all right. Tells Liam, get your shoes on. Get out to the car. Get in the car and let's go. Okay, Greg says. He walks out. He says, Liam, standing at the car door. Just standing. And he, dude, get in the car. Oh, okay. And what he heard was, get on your shoes and go to the car. The next steps he didn't hear. So it's those moments where then we get angry as parents and go, aren't you listening to me? Well, he didn't process that fast. Probably one of the other, one of my favorites in trying to explain children and how they respond with autism is the whatever is in his head, he believes is in your head. So I'm going to start right here, and you have no idea what he's talking about. And he came running into the room one time, and he's going to tell Greg something, and he runs and he goes, Greg, and then whatever he's saying. And Greg goes, whoa, stop, start at the beginning. And Liam goes, okay. And he runs out, ran out of the room, came back in, Greg, started at the same place. And Greg goes, how stupid am I? Because I just told him to start at the beginning, and he did. He went back, ran out, and ran back in. So it is it is very finite. It is what you asked for. It is not interpretive. That is the way that his brain processes. And it is a learning experience every day. Our other 4 children have their own specialness and special needs to them as well. And just because they're not defined by any single diagnosis or anything else.
We have to leave it there because we're almost out of time, but this is our half hour show that we normally do. If you want to have more information about the beauty of raising an autistic child by Sally Desch, you can also check out youtube.ca or youtube.com and search for TED Plus Talks. That is it, Michael. We're out of time.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. We're leaving you with a song called Lance King from their album D-I-M-E-S, Dimes. And we're leaving you the song called The Brand New Sunny Day.
I can climb a mountain when I close my eyes, or swim and run on the playgrounds in my mind.
And of course, you also can check out his website, lanceking.ca, for more about Dimes. Demonstrate his determination, inspiration, motivation, education, and solutions.
I didn't want these braces, and I don't like this chair, or my challenge looks that make some people stay.
and I hide inside a brand new sunny day. I'm one of God's creations, and if you only knew, underneath this label, I'm just the same as you. So when you see me coming, please don't turn the other way. Stop and hear what my song.